Okay. If you're in this webinar, you're in the right place. This is Getting on the Same Side, Creating Relationship Harmony. We're very excited about Michelle and Dean being here. They are trained and certified in the Hendricks Institute, and we have experience with them, so we'll tell you about that briefly.
This is the Healthy Lifestyle Solutions podcast, and I'm your host, Maya Acosta. If you're willing to go with me, together we can discover how simple lifestyle choices can help improve our quality of life and increase our longevity in a good way. Let's get started.
So I have been working with Michelle now for over 2 years, and it's been really significant, life-changing. Recently, I wanted to introduce her to our community, really both of them, is because you know, we talk about lifestyle medicine a lot together in the work that we do, Dr. Riz and I. And one of the pillars of lifestyle medicine, it focuses on having healthy relationships. And so we want to start bringing that content to the community, because we know that when you're in a, say, not a very healthy or even maybe toxic relationship, that can actually affect your mental health, your physical health. And so we want to start talking about that. And we've seen such improvements in our own relationships and individually doing our own work that we really just wanted to introduce them. And hopefully, you know, you'll find some benefit to today's talk.
We are talking about all of these different aspects of lifestyle that we are trying to hit upon and get running as good as possible in order to improve our lifestyles. Certainly improving our relationships should be right up there. It's one of the most important things in the world, you know, in our lives. I'm very happy to have them join us today as well.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much, Michelle and Dean Yasuda, for being here. And I will let you take it away or however.
So, yeah, please, guys, do a little bit more thorough introduction and then get started.
Like Maya and Riz said, we are trained Big Leap coaches. And what that means is that we had the great pleasure and honor of being mentored and taught by two amazing, I like to say masters of life, mm-hmm. who taught us so many skills that we can use, you can use every day to create a healthy, beautiful life of aliveness. So I've been a coach working with individuals. We work together with couples. Yeah. And we have a great time learning to transform our lives while actually having some fun. That's one of the things I love about the Hendricks work and the work that we do is we try to take the serious out of transformation, and we try to have an opportunity to actually have some ease and some flow while we're bringing new habits into our life, while we're transforming our relationship. Yeah. So,
what I love about the Hendricks work too is about having fun, trying to have fun while we're transforming and working through our relationship. And, you know, also I wanted to add in with the relationship part when we talked about person-to-person relationship, you know, eating, that's mm-hmm. a big part of feeling good mm-hmm. so we can feel our best in our relationship also. Mm-hmm. And also movement, you know, fitness, getting out there and going for a walk. Simple things that can just keep our body always going. And that's the combination of having a nice, healthy relationship, you know, good fuel, good movement, and good connection.
Yeah. And lifestyle has been a big part of, we started studying the Blue Zones many years ago and are really, it's become a pillar for us in mm-hmm. how we live our lives. So conscious eating, conscious relationships, moving naturally, all of those things. What we notice is that a bunch of the, so there's 9 areas that were found in the Blue Zones for what was common in this, is it 6 places? I can't remember, that were found to have the most centenarians. And what is really what really struck us was, I think it's about five of them have nothing to do with food. They have nothing to do with exercise. They have nothing to do with that part of things. What they have to do with is healthy relating to life. And I guess one of them is
purpose.
There's purpose. Yeah. Purpose and
community.
Yeah. Yeah. Families.
Family.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So the one that we love to focus on the most is how we can create a relationship that is not only a source of nourishment, but actually harmony and joy for our relationship, for our lives. And so we're just going to go ahead and get right into it. So some of the things that we're going to share today might be surprising to you. You're signing on and you want to learn about relationships. And we're going to introduce some concepts that might surprise you. And what we want to invite you into is opening up to trying new things, seeing life through different perspectives, and having a good time with us. So what I want to ask you is, are you open and willing to have a good time with us today? Maybe give us a thumbs up or...
Yeah, so we often or most times love to start our sessions or webinars with some beautiful conscious breathing. And so we're just going to dabble into it a little. There's Gay Hendricks. Dr. Gay Hendricks is an expert in breathing that we got to learn personally with him. And that was fabulous. And, you know, breathing is, our breath is the base of our state of being. And, you know, if we're not breathing correctly, we're not experiencing life and connection with ourselves and with each other in a nice, easy, flowing way. So let's just get right into it. And I like to just start off with, you know, just place your hand on your belly and just loosen it, like blow it up gently like a balloon. We're going to just do that for now. And then bring your belly button back into your spine. Just make it easy and in your comfort zone. So I'll just step back a little.
So as you're breathing in.
Just get that movement going first. And then the next time you push your belly out, bring the breath down into your belly. And then exhale slowly, bringing your belly button back to your spine. We want to keep that in about a 5-second inhale. So it's a very slow inhale and a very slow exhale. Give a moment to tune in and feel that breath. You can breathe through your nose the whole time. That's great. And just notice how you're feeling. On the out-breath, you can imagine your body softening. So you're bringing a breath, deep breath in. Softening your body as you exhale. Having a nice conscious breathing practice in the morning can make a huge difference in your life. I know it has for me. Even being a personal trainer, I still didn't realize how much I was chest breathing. And to realize that taking the breath down into my belly, I get more oxygen into my lungs, which helps me get out of my fight or flight brain and into my prefrontal cortex thinking brain. And it makes a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah. So after you practice that, what I invite you to do is notice what's happening inside of you as you're noticing your breathing. So when we breathe, we feel more. And sometimes that can be a little bit scary. Sometimes feelings come up that we're not used to feeling. And it's perfectly normal and natural for that to happen. So like Dean said, if you bring breathing, conscious breathing, into your daily practice, what you're really doing is inviting more flow and more consciousness to what's really going on inside of you. And that's the next concept that we wanted to share with you is essence. What is essence? So being able to recognize when we are actually in our whole essential self is essential to relating. So if I'm actually in my open, connecting, flow, ease, feeling harmony inside of me, that's when I'm going to be able to be open to my partner. Mm-hmm. And so being able to recognize that state of when I'm open, when I'm available for connection is really important. So invite you into another practice. So this one, if you're willing to close your eyes, think of some place that you know you love. This could be an imaginary place, a place that you have always wanted to visit, or somewhere where you've actually visited. So let yourself really bring your whole mind into this space, looking around at the colors, feeling a nice temperature of not the hot Texas or California heat, but actually a cool, beautiful temperature on your face, allowing yourself to take in the surroundings. Take a couple of belly breaths while you're taking in this beautiful place where you know you feel happy and joyful, content, connected. And I invite you to notice what that feels like. What are you noticing? What sensations do you notice in your body?
Just notice how that feels right now. Just tune in to your body. Take it down into your body. Tune in. I know I feel, and put in your comments if you want. And I feel great. I feel open. I feel connected. I feel grounded. You know, so how often do you feel that in your daily life? And just ask yourself that. You know, I know for me, I go in and out. In and out of presence daily. Some days I am open, I'm flowing, I'm in the groove, no worries, and everything's just going great. And then some days I have worries, I have some slight anxiety, everything is like, I get down on myself, I'm like, what am I doing? Da, 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 da. And so that's just the different types of fear responses that flow into our daily lives. And just being a human. Yeah. That's just part of being a human.
I just wanted to come back to that since I left you in that place and forgot to tell you to come back into this moment.
I think I wanted that.
Yeah, into this moment. And I'm noticing in the chat that there was a calm, relaxed, grounded. Yeah, those are the feelings that I notice. And I know that you were talking about in flow. And so how can we create that flow in our daily lives while we're in the midst of life, while things are happening? So that practice that we just did, you can actually use that practice anytime you want. Take 2 minutes to close your eyes. Think of somewhere that you know you love, feel the feelings, feel the expansion in your body, and then come right back into your whatever activities you were doing. And what I noticed for myself when I do that, when I give myself a little pause and have a little bit of a presencing practice like that, I feel connected. I feel I can feel my body. I can feel myself. And like you said, when you get in that state where things are just bumbling all over the place, it's a way of actually pausing that and coming back into presence. So, interrupted you on
that.
That's
okay. You know, like Michelle was saying, you know, just noticing, that's the thing, is noticing when you start feeling these feelings or getting into that, and to press that pause button and just allow, give yourself that minute or two, it's 1 or 2 minutes to really bring yourself back and then continue what you're doing.
Yeah.
It doesn't take a lot to presence yourself.
Yeah. So what we wanted to talk about was now when we're losing presence, when we are feeling that stress or anxiety. I know for me, it's always been, I'm feeling really good. And then a worry thought comes in. And then suddenly I'm taken out of the beautiful connection that I'm feeling into another state. And so what we want to talk about next is how fear plays a role in our lives. And I know that when we first learned about fear from the Hendrix, we were pretty surprised. We thought fear was, you know, like just jumped out of the way of a fast moving vehicle, or I startled because of a loud noise. And what we learned was that most of us are moving in and out of fear states throughout our daily lives. And the empowering part of this is once we can start to recognize how we in particular experience fear, we can actually presence what's happening, make a new choice, and get back into flow again. So we wanted to talk about the four ways that our bodies experience fear. So the first one that is was very familiar to me in the past is the fight part of fight or flight. So fight. This is what I notice now is I don't get into, oh, I'm going to fight. What happens to me now is I might start feeling tension in my body when I've been on my computer too long. Or, I might get a little bit, and I'm feeling a little bit annoyed at my partner, and I'm kind of, So those are some ways that we experience fight. So you might think about for yourself how you experience resistance in your life. So
it could also be fighting with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that, how do you fight with your monkey mind?
Yes. You know? Yes. Trying to push away thoughts, trying to get rid of things, trying to get rid of thoughts that you don't like. Those are all forms of resistance and fight. So that's the first one.
I can do.
And, do you want me to, I'll do my two. Okay. Yeah. And the next one, this is also familiar and still familiar for me. And this is the fear freeze. So freeze is generally the first thing is a sudden dropping of the breath and tightening of the body. It's definitely the startle response when we hear a loud noise. In relationship, it can be when we hear the words, honey, I have something to talk to you about. Freeze happens. So we're doing it in more of an extreme, and we invite you to try on these different fear types to see what feels familiar in your body. And it does help to exaggerate. So doing a very strong fear freeze.
Hold your breath. And
holding your breath. And then you could try a subtle version of it. Just a very, very sudden, just subtle. That's fear freeze. So when we're experiencing freeze in our relationship, it often is when the unexpected happens, actually, regardless of relationship, when the unexpected happens, our bodies tend to freeze first. So that's the fear response that most of us have first before we move into any of the others.
Yeah.
All right.
And all these fear responses can happen very quickly.
Oh, yes.
You know, like Michelle was saying, often it's the freeze is first, and then we'll go into the next three, or the next two I'll talk about, and either it's freeze, then I fight, I come back, or so the ones I'm going to talk about is flee. So there's a flee signature or a flee response. And that's when I'm either in the future thinking about a what if, or what if this happens, or I'm in the past, just living in the past, or I'm just up in my head, you know, just la, 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 la. And, you know, that one, yeah, I'm familiar with that one, flee, you know, where, you know, you're talking to someone and you're like, I don't know if you ever notice, I notice sometimes I talk to someone, or especially my kids, and they're, you see that glaze in their eyes, like, hello, are you here with me? And, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, okay, sure. So that's the flea.
Well, and that's the flea in the head, but the also. Flea in the head.
Oh, yeah, that you want to flee.
So we actually do, some of us, and this this happens in relationship, is I'm out of here.
I can't do this anymore. I'm gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about this.
Yeah. That's very common.
Yep. Yep.
And then we have the faint. So the faint is, just imagine the energy running, you know, draining out of your body. You get kind of, well, what I experience, you get a little like, a little stupid, you know, kind of like, I don't know what's going on. And you just kind of like, yeah, okay. I don't know what that means. And it's really, you're just getting confused. And it's like I know for me, I get a pulling of my back and I kind of feel that experience of faint. And
we can also experience faint as overwhelm.
Overwhelm, yes.
So, and procrastination because of overwhelm, procrastination can be one of, can happen because of a fear faint. Mm-hmm. It's when we lose connection. Yeah. We've lost connection with ourselves. We've lost connection with the world around us. So, so what can we do about this fear? That's now that we laid this on you, that, that we all experience some level of fear throughout our days, throughout our days.
Day, yeah.
So one of our wonderful tools that we teach as coaches are called fear melters. And they were developed by Dr. Katie Hendricks. And what they're designed to do is be a portal from fear into shifting your state. So they don't do it all by themselves, but they are a way of moving the adrenaline of fear, moving the energy of fear through so that we can actually make new choices. Mm-hmm. So we're going to run through these right now, and we would love for you to try them on and see what they feel like in your body. So we're going to start with the fight again. So fight is a contracted, tight, active kind of fear. So what we do with fight is we want to melt it by softening up. We might roll our shoulders a little bit. Katie calls this oozing. We might move our head around, our neck, move our mouth. We're taking that contracted state and we're loosening it up. Just loosening it. And this is one of those things that might feel a little awkward or weird in the beginning. And what we can tell you is that if you practice this, it becomes more and more natural. Mm-hmm. And taking a breath, taking a belly breath with the fear melter can be really helpful. So that's fight. And with freeze, and this is something that you've noticed animals do. Most of us have noticed this, that an animal will freeze. And when they know they're safe again, they will shake off their freeze and go on with their day. We don't tend to let go of fear the way that animals do. We tend to ruminate on it and get stuck in it and all kinds of things. So we have to do a little bit more shaking than the animal does. So this is called wiggle, and it literally is when you're in that state of frozen to just start bringing some movement into your body. It could first be wiggling your fingers, wiggling your toes, moving around, shaking it out, but shaking your body, wiggling your body to get some energy moving through again. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's two now. We've got our oozing and we've got our wiggling and shaking.
Yeah. And so flee. Mm. So when you're fleeing, you're up here in our heads and we're just going, and then we lose connection with our body and the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So with flee, I like to just start off by noticing my feet on the floor. So you're bringing the thoughts down. Okay, notice your feet on the floor. I like to even use your toes and just gently, like you're gripping the ground with your feet. Like, okay, oh, I feel myself on the ground. And then you can imagine even roots going out of your feet down into the earth, just connecting you, bringing you down, connecting. Ah, like I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. So that's the movement when you're fleeing up in your head.
Mm-hmm. And I know, or wanting to get out again. Yeah, you could tell which kind of flee you do. Yeah.
That's right.
I'm more of the get the heck out of there. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a way of saying I'm here. I'm going to stay here. I'm not leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not leaving.
And so now faint. So faint, you've again disconnected with what's around you. And faint. See, I remember this move was the most weirdest for me, but it actually turned out to be the one I needed the most. And so the move for faint is called love scoops.
Mm.
And so just basically it's imagine all the places that you really love, all the people that you just truly love, anything that you just love. What you're doing, and you're scooping this love and bringing it back to yourself, and you're letting it land on your body. Let your hands just land on your body. Bring it in. Boom. And I like to, you can put it on different parts of your body. Like I notice if I'm angry, my jaws get tight. So I put it on my jaws. So you're just giving yourself self-love. I put it on my brain if it's working.
Yeah. Yeah. So the overwhelm, the disconnection, the going fuzzy, by allowing ourselves to connect with the energy around us, with something outside of us, can help ourselves come back into here.
Yeah.
So those are called fear melters. And what we invite you to do is to just try them out. You don't have to do them exactly right. And you don't have to match the right one to the right thing. What's really important is actually finding the movements that help you come back into presence, that actually help you to come into, okay, here I am again. I'm back. Try those out.
Yeah, experiment with those.
Yeah, exactly.
And usually it takes, depending on how much fear you're in, it can take up to 2 minutes to just start feeling yourself back and feeling present with your partner or whoever, yourself. So it takes about 2 minutes. So do 2 minutes of some kind of movement.
Mm-hmm.
You try the fear melters. You can just stretch. You can go for a walk. There's many things. You know, go out and just put your feet on the grass when it's nice. The weather's nice.
Yes, that's right. We can't do that right now, maybe. One of the thoughts I'm having is, how about we do two minutes of movement together? 2 minutes of pick one of those fear melters and try it out. We'll put a timer on and let's see. Just take a notice, a scan of your body right now and what you're feeling inside. And then let's go ahead and practice together. 2 minutes of moving. Just let your body move in any way that feels good.
Make sure you're breathing.
Yes. Don't forget to breathe while you're moving.
Notice
That's
your
right.
breath. Wow. Don't forget the bottom half of your body, your legs and your feet, your back body.
Might make some sounds.
Yeah, sounds. Move your face muscles. We have so many muscles in our face, but we don't exercise them. Wow. 2 minutes. 2 minutes to move around.
One more minute left.
Oh. You know, when you wiggle and you get the, your voice starts moving. Yeah. Like, then you get a good, that's when you know you're wiggling. The face flap, down, put your head down and just move,
Thanks for coming on screen, yeah. Anita, Jason. Yeah, so just notice, and if you want to share in the chat what that feels like for you. We're going to have some time at the end for questions, by the way. Mm-hmm. We wanted to get through, give you as many tools as we could in this time that we have together. So what we've shared with you so far, just to recap, we shared with you about noticing our state of being. So am I in my essence self? Am I experiencing life as who I truly am? Or am I in some kind of fear? Have I been captured by some kind of fear? So the first tool is really letting yourself take a moment to notice, what's my state? How do I feel? I like that. I feel good. I feel happy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's how I'm feeling right now. Yeah. So our breath is one of our gateways home. So if you notice yourself feeling some tension, you notice yourself feeling scared.
Or just notice when you're not breathing.
Notice you're not breathing.
Holding your breath. How many times are you holding your breath in a day? Exhale and take some easy breaths.
So taking those breaths, if you notice that you have tension in your body, start moving your body. Maybe go outside if it's not too hot. If it's too hot, just get up away from your desk or wherever you are. Move around a little bit. So the main thing that we wanted to share next with you is the concept of taking full responsibility for our own state of being instead of throwing it onto our partners. So it's very, very hard to be on the same side, to get on the same side if we are throwing our upsets at each other. It's not really very fun, actually, to be doing that. So what we really want to do is come on to the same side so that together we're looking at the issue from the same vantage point. Instead of the issue is sitting behind us, growing and growing and growing, and I can't really even see my partner anymore. What's going on? It's getting so bad. You take it. So getting on the same side means being able to take healthy responsibility for ourselves. And that can be really tricky. That's the really big power move, is being able to pause and recognize, like first recognize that I'm in a state of fear. I'm angry. I'm scared. I'm feeling sad and I don't know what to do with my feelings. I feel sad and it's your fault. Well, those kind of thoughts that can come. So being able to recognize that, take a pause, take care of myself, take care of my state of being, so that when I speak to my partner, I can speak from a place of presence, where I'm able to say, hey, I noticed that yesterday when this thing happened, I felt really angry with you. And I just wanted you to know that I've been feeling angry about that. And my request is that you do X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. As opposed to in the state of anger, saying, I can't believe you did that, da, 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 da. Which is basically just going to create distance between us. So being able to own our own feelings, for me to recognize that I'm creating anger in myself about what you're doing, and being able to notice that. Yeah.
Yeah. And even, you know, as Michelle said, even at in a calm state of her expressing that to me, if she's going, I feel angry about this thing. So my job, for my responsibility, is to not take that personal. First of all, she's angry. She's not angry at me. And to do my fear melters and my breathing so I can stay connected to myself. So I'm not making up stories or going, oh my God, what did I do wrong? It's like, okay, she's expressing her experience to me. And that's it. And it's it sounds simple, of course, but, you know, often it's, you know, oh, wait, what did I do? What's wrong?
Yeah. And then it winds up being a combative, I'm defending myself instead of actually receiving my partner and their upset, being willing to take the impact of what it is that you're feeling for me to be able to take that, let the energy through, move the energy. If I feel angry that you feel angry, I might say that. I need a moment. Oh, wow. I feel angry that you just said that. Okay. All right. That's a lot different than I can't believe you said that. So the subtle difference and the very big difference between blame and criticism and being on the same side makes all the difference. And one of the things that we noticed is when we actually are upset with each other, what is almost always going on is that we've tapped into an old hurt. We've tapped into something from our past that actually has nothing to do with our partner, very little to do with our partner. And if I'm able to take responsibility for that, to recognize that, ooh, that actually, like, first of all, when I get scared and upset, I ask for a pause. I really feel I need a pause right now, and I'm going to need a little bit of space to absorb what's going on. So could we come back together in an hour, 10 minutes, whatever that might be, to resolve that? So that I'm not saying I'm out of here and distancing myself. I'm actually asking the support of giving me the space that I need and I require. And
yeah,
then,
yeah.
Yeah.
So that's an invitation for me when she says that, to like, oh, okay. And honoring what she's going through and requesting that. And that's for me, my journey to, okay, let me take a breath and tune into what's happening for me and what's been familiar with my past or my traumas. And so like, oh, okay, let me take a pause too, because we're both creating the, so one of us is going to be more present to say, hey, I need a pause and let me just tune in to what's happening in me.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then when you're taking that pause, being able to soothe ourselves. So that's the my job now is to come back into presence, come back into here I am. So I might do that by talking to the part of me that's hurt. Maybe I was upset because Dean didn't give me the attention that I was really feeling like I needed in one particular moment. And so I'm experiencing that as a sense of abandonment. And what I recognize is that there's the little girl in me who didn't feel loved and appreciated. And so I'd kind of tune into that and, oh, it kind of feels like when I was 8 years old and this thing happened or whatever that might be. And then I can take that little 8-year-old and I can say, hey, we're doing okay. I know that you really feel like you didn't get enough attention. And oh, let me give you attention right now. Let me love you right now. And actually imagine just taking that 8-year-old in my arms and giving that part of me attention. So that's one of the tools that you can use. And again, some of the things we're introducing might feel a little awkward or weird or whatever. We really just invite you to trying them out. Try something out that feels weird that you haven't tried before and see how it works for you. It may or may not work for you.
Because so, we're all weird. And you know, yeah, I'm just going to generalize. We're all weird in some way.
That's right. You know,
I mean, we're human, so we're weird.
Yeah, humans are really weird. That is very true. So the one move can be, I'm asking for a pause. I go into some space by myself. And I talk to that part of me that got hurt. And if I feel I need help with that, then I can seek help for that. I can even ask for help for that. I can come back to my partner and say, you know, I noticed that I was feeling angry at you for not giving me attention. I didn't feel like you were giving me attention. And I noticed that there's a little girl in me who didn't feel like she got enough attention. And I wonder if I could have a hug right now.
Yeah.
And so something simple like that can take us back into connection with each other. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to pause there. And let's see, let's just go back over some of the ways to come back into presence that we shared with you. So I know I have a little note
this
here.
Is a lot.
So that's a lot. So first, it's taking breaths, asking for pauses, committing to actually being on the same side.
Caring about what your partner is saying. Mm-hmm. You know, I want her to be happy. I want to be happy. So how can we come into connection with that? Mm-hmm. And not throwing myself under the bus either. Mm-hmm. So it's about, okay, I want you to be happy. I want to be happy. How can we do this in a nice way, you know?
Yeah. How can we work together to get what we both want? Most of us weren't taught how to relate in a healthy way. So we're learning these skills sometimes for the first time in our whole lives. And it's totally possible. It's totally possible to be able to hold our own upsets, not project them onto each other, and to create a relationship that actually is a source of instead of a source of
safe place, a safe space. You know, you may want this to be the safe space where I can share whatever I want or share everything that's coming up for me. And I know that she'll support me and she'll be with me instead of, you know, well, what's wrong with you? Why are you acting like that? You know, where I can just be together and
be on the same side.
Be on the same side. Yeah.
Yes. Really. Well, and one of the tools that we haven't talked about yet that helps us be on the same side, it's the game-changing practice that you can have with your partner, whether this is work environment or any kind of family member, certainly with your intimate partner, is to lead with appreciation. So we created an appreciation practice, and what we suggest is creating an appreciation practice that you do at the exact same time every day. So that, well, the time isn't important. Sorry, that I should have said it in a certain ritualistic way. So like for us, it's when we get into bed, we go to bed at the same time. So that works for us. So when we go to bed, we say an appreciation for each other and we say an appreciation for our day or ourselves, and then we go to sleep. And so it might be for some of you, it might be good to do that at breakfast. Maybe you have breakfast with your partner. Maybe you can put a timer on and at the same time every day, you give a quick text to your partner or call your partner or whatever it might be. But to take time every single day at the same time, because if you do it at the same time, you're not going to have to remember it. Eventually it'll become a habit. So that's why we recommend that. And what that does for us is takes us out of that thinking, looking for what's wrong, which is a natural, we're wired that way. That's why we're all here, because our ancestors were good at getting out of the way of danger. So that's a good thing. Now that kind of fear can really get in the way of our being able to relate. So a simple appreciation practice, like I notice I feel, I really appreciate this morning when you made my beautiful fruit breakfast that you do every day. And thank you for that.
And even for the receiver to pause, we talk about pause a lot, to pause and let that land. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, wow. Just let her know that, wow, you're welcome. You know, and going into the appreciation practice, and if you have it at the same time every day, you know, if someone forgets, you know, someone will forget, and one partner does it, to make it playful, you know, like, hey, you forgot my appreciation, you know, not, hey, where's my appreciation? What's going on? You know,
or getting upset with ourselves for not being perfect at a new practice. Yes. So this is if we leave you with anything that's important, we want to leave you with this idea that you're going to mess up, make mistakes. It's going to be messy. Humans are messy. if you can give each other the space to be human while continuing to recommit to the new goals that you have, you will reach them. So you have to be able to forgive yourself. Oops, I messed up again. Ah, or forgive your partner. Uh-oh, they messed up again. And be able to, instead of taking that, instead of taking that and making it part of the whole old story, actually know that you are stepping towards that new story and that it doesn't happen overnight, unless you're really, really lucky. It doesn't happen overnight. And it's something that you're going to be moving towards the rest of your lives. And it gets better and better and better. And we take it deeper and deeper and deeper. It's a sad thing that we get this idea I grew up with this idea that if you're going for marriage help or couples help, something's wrong. Yeah. There's something terrible happening. And of course that was a prevalent thought with therapy in general, right? For individuals too. So to realize that coaching, like you said, everyone needs support in, if we want to really experience something, in a masterful way, we need support with that. So I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad that you brought that up. The idea of maintenance, the idea of, and we often say that we wish that couples came to us before things blow up, before things go south, just come and enjoy more, get more, pick up tools and whatever. Mm-hmm. So thank you for bringing that up. That was super, super helpful.
Michelle and Dean are bringing a retreat here to Dallas for couples. That's going to be in October of this year. It's a weekend workshop, Friday through Sunday. They are only taking 10 couples, and that's just basically because they want it to be intimate and it gives you just like a more one-on-one sort of experience, a small group setting. It's a Friday night, all day Saturday. It's on Eventbrite, and then a few hours on Sunday morning.
What a beautiful gift it is to say, we're going to take the whole weekend and we're going to make us the priority. We're going to make our relationship the priority. And not only are we going to do that, but we're going to be able to be around other couples who are doing that same thing. Mm-hmm. So we've got a group of people together who want to experience more joy and harmony and love and connection in their relationship. So the power of being able to be in a group and be able to go through experiences together and learn practical tools like we were talking about today. And I know it does feel like a lot, like we love to, it's like, can we tell you all the things at once? And so a weekend to be able to slowly absorb practices, and you'll actually get to do practices, ask questions about them, be able to play with other couples and learn from each other in a nourishing and uplifting mm-hmm. environment. And I just wanted to say too, is coming back around to the idea of our whole health being that this is a pillar of our whole health, that coming together in community in this way is so incredibly powerful. And so it's not just being able to be with two people who have learned from masters of this work and have dedicated their life to this work, but actually being able to be in a community and be with other people that are on the journey is incredibly powerful. Mm-hmm. So that's what I wanted to say. I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
And I'm excited that, you know, you're bringing this to Dallas.
We like having fun. We like defaulting to joy in our relationship and harmony in our relationship. So we don't want to spend our time digging in the dirt and having like really difficult experiences. That's not what we're up to. You don't have to do that. Sometimes you walk through some tricky stuff. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that 8-year-old really gets activated and there's a little bit more going on there. But as I think what Maya and Riz, what you just expressed, that's the tone that we work in, is how can we get back to joy as much as possible? And in a retreat, it is different from coaching. It's a space where we want to learn how to connect with each other and have a more relaxed and joyful time. So it doesn't mean you're not doing deep learning, because we do deep learning when we're playing and when we're experiencing joy. So
I'd love for you to come back and if you have time and just share more stuff about tools that we can use to build our relationships.
Absolutely. We'd be very happy to do that. It's been our pleasure to meet with the community and with you both. And
you've been listening to the Healthy Lifestyle Solutions podcast with your host, Maya Acosta. If you've enjoyed this content, please share with one friend who can benefit. You can also leave us a 5-star review at ratethispodcast.com/HLS. This helps us to spread our message. As always, thank you for being a listener.